This week in the Divine Office of Matins, in the first book of Kings, we read this salutary admonition, "Render unto him what you owe for sin." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend fathers, dear sisters of Our Lady of Reparation, dear and proud family and friends of our two new novices, dear faithful, and you, dear school children, I want to thank you, school children, particularly for sharing your last day of school mass with the sisters, the guests, and the faithful and the clergy. It's a big occasion, you see, but you probably realized that already. This is what Father Cicada would call a flyover. That is to say, something that's really quite solemn. And so there's been a ceremony at the beginning, almost a little bit like a bride, and our Lord's the bridegroom, and so thus the postulants came in dressed in white for their clothing or investiture ceremony. They are to learn now, these 2 years, how to become a bride of Christ. Then there was a little sort of a warning or it's called an admonition that I read to them about what they could expect if they stayed with it as religious. And then I cut their hair. I was wondering how that would go. And it actually went fairly well once I got the hang of it. I didn't want to pull their hair too much, but I really never cut any girl's hair before. Why do they cut their hair? Well, the hair is cut to symbolize something. Everything stands for something in church. To symbolize laying aside the vanities of this world, because you see, a woman's hair, and I always say this, at least theoretically, is meant to be her glory, and she gives up her glory now. She veils her hair, that's a sign of virginity, because she belongs now just to God. And also it stands in general, cutting the hair does, for giving up on the vanities of this world, mirrors and how do I look and things like that. No, that's all got to go now. And so as I cut the hair, I said the prayer that I say when I get vested each day, remove from me, O Lord, exue me domine veterum hominem, take the old man off of me, O Lord, with all of his vanities and sins. And then the sisters are to put on the new creature in Christ, and that's symbolized by their habits that I blessed and gave to them. And the veil on their head is white, and that could remind us of the garment of our own baptism for purity. And then the new sisters had to go out and put their new habits on, and that always takes a while. So I thought we should say some prayers, especially because it's First Friday. There are lots of important prayers to be said today. And then soon enough, why, the new sisters came in and we were all wondering how they would look, and they looked pretty good in their new habits. And they were wondering what their new names would be. And one sister received the name in honor of the founder of the order, St. Benedict, and the other the name of one of the great woman martyrs, a mother and a martyr, who is mentioned every day in the canon of the Mass. So we have a Sister Benedict Marie and Sister Perpetua Marie. Or we all do our very best to remember, even the families, to call the new sisters by their religious names, because giving up your own name, well, that's a sacrifice. And giving up your daughter to religion, well, that's a sacrifice. And when you call your daughter now by this, your sister, by this new name, why, that's a reminder of the sacrifice that you have joyfully made. It's a sacrifice for the sisters themselves. I put that thing in the bulletin a while ago, did you see it? About how that was a sacrifice even for Saint Bernadette. Holy as she was, it was hard for her the last time she saw her daddy, and he didn't call her by her given name that he had named her at baptism. He called her by her religious name, and she thanked God for that little sacrifice. Well, children, this is your last day, and this is their first day, and both of you are on vacation. Vacation? Well, you see, that's really one of the meanings of the word, going back to the Latin, where we always have to go. A vacation comes from the Latin vacare, which means to be quiet or to be still. Some people, you know, still prefer a quiet, still vacation, such as you would get if you were fishing quietly in the middle of a placid lake in the summer, or walking, say, on the seashore with nobody around. For the novices, this is meant to be a quiet year. They aren't supposed to talk, at least not too much. They're meant to be still, to be quiet for God. And of course, they're staying put, so their vacation children will be a staycation at the convent, just getting to know God and letting God get to know them as they learn how to be nuns, sisters of reparation. Well, what is a sister of reparation? I'm glad you asked. I've been thinking about that myself the last week or two. A sister of reparation is a religious, and she's a refugee, and she's a repairer. She's a religious, that's a technical term, canonical. In the general sense, we'll say she is someone who belongs to a religious institute, sometimes called a congregation or an order, whose members take vows, and they live together a common life, and they follow a rule, and they're distinguished from others, from seculars, by the habit which they wear. And their end or their purpose in doing all of this is their own sanctification and the glory of Almighty God by performing especially the works proper to their institute. But a sister of reparation is more than just a religious. She's a refugee, just as truly as are those Syrians fleeing across the Mediterranean Sea, fleeing for their lives, and then maybe at some point the boat sinks and they try their best to swim for shore, fleeing all the effects of the evil empire, which is always starting wars for the purpose of regime changes. You see, monks and nuns, ever since first there were some in Egypt, and then later on in Europe, under Saint Benedict, monks and nuns looked upon the world or society as just what those poor Syrians and the drink are facing today, a shipwreck from which each individual has to swim away for his life or else drown. Because to let yourself just sort of drift along, just go along to get along, accepting passively the tenets, the values, you might say the common core beliefs of society today, for them, as for us, that would be a disaster. They had to flee. I don't know about those Syrian refugees. They say there's some terrorists mixed in them and then some economic refugees, of course. But in the old days for the monks, they had to flee. And that's how monasteries and convents got started. You see, first of all, there were martyrs. And if you got baptized, for centuries, you knew you stood a pretty good chance of suffering or even being put to death for your faith, because you refused to worship the idols of the empire and the military and to go along with the bloody, impure entertainments and all of the rest. You just weren't on it or in it. And people resented you for that, just as they would today. Then came the peace under Constantine, and with it came the danger, because it's dangerous sometimes not to be persecuted for our faith. And so this is what, by the Holy Ghost, turned martyrs into monks. And still today, it is a hard life to be a refugee. To live in a refugee camp is not so comfy, certainly not respectable, but really to be refugees, well, that means to flee. A sister of reparation, though, doesn't just run away. She stays to pray. She stays to weep. And she weeps and washes Jesus' feet. She finds her place at his feet. She's a Magdalene in that sense. You know, there used to be Magdalene sisters in Cincinnati at an institution called Girls Town. I think it was on West Bend Road a long time ago. And the sisters wore brown, and they led very penitential lives, the Magdalenes. Well, the Magdalenes have returned to Cincinnati to take our sins upon them to repair the damage done. A sister of reparation is a religious and a refugee, but more and most of all, she is a repairer. She repairs the damage done to the honor of Almighty God. And more, the broken heart of God, his sacred heart, a wound that's inflicted after death, they say, never heals. And so our Lord's, the wound in his side, his sacred heart, all of these centuries has never healed. It's still open and still bleeding with love for us. A sister of reparation remembers this. She remembers to make reparation, to repair something broken, a heart, and to make amends for the wrong, for all of the sorrow that our Lord suffered because of their sins and our sins and our coldness and our neglect. Pope Pius XI explains reparation. Remember, we looked at it during Lent. Two things. Justice, it's owed to restore the violated order of things, to put things back together again the way they should be, which is the only way to get peace. And we do that by repentance. And then after justice, then there comes love. We love our Lord, and we suffer in sympathy with him. We give him solace. We cooperate with Christ in saving souls. Reparation. The reparation you children are making today in this rather long Mass on your last day. The reparation the sisters, the faithful, the fathers make every day. Our Lord saw all of that on the last night of his life at Gethsemane, and it consoled Christ. It strengthened him. We make reparation in general by trying at least not to add to the list of sins, to lead a good sinless life by our sacrifices, by Mass, the communion of reparation, by the morning offering. We can offer up everything we do, remember, all day long to the Sacred Heart. Remember, especially today, our Lord wants reparation made to the Immaculate Heart of his Mother, Mary. But especially, the Sister of Reparation wishes to make reparation for the sins of priests. I asked Mother Isidore to be so good as to put that in, and she said that she would. Because there are so many, even priests who are true priests with the true faith, or say the true Mass, there are so many priests throughout the world who offend our Lord, not just the Novus Ordo, in other words. And we have to pray for them, and we have to make reparation for what they do. It's a special call. It's a special need. A sister of reparation is drawn irresistibly to the Holy Eucharist as the moth is to the flame, and she doesn't mind if she's all burned up with the flame, the fires of love that come out of the Sacred Heart. She's a Magdalene soul. She takes our sins, especially the sins of priests, but the sins of the whole world, upon her. A sister of reparation, regardless of what her name is, always has the same initials, and they are M.M. for Mary Magdalene and Margaret Mary. These are her models in her life of reparation. Thus laden, she may feel sometimes overwhelmed, laden over, but she can't resist, and she won't say no. She hurries to Jesus in the tabernacle, in the monstrance, in adoration. For this, she is a reparatrix, which is just the Latin word for a woman who offers reparation after the example of the Blessed Mother herself, who offered a perfect reparation at Calvary. She can't resist this love for her vocation and her Lord. His heart is her all. She can't be satisfied with just enough. Daily Mass, you know, nuns say a lot of prayers. They make their meditation and they say their divine office and they have their daily Mass and communion and so forth. But here, the Benedictine balance almost yields a bit to the insistent call of benediction and of adoration and of the Blessed Sacrament and the sacrifice of the Mass solemnly offered so as to give God as much glory as possible, because just about nobody is even concerned about doing that anymore today. All is reparation. For our sister of reparation in her every Holy Communion is what we will offer today, all of us, our first Friday communion of reparation. And what about for us children? What about for us? Well, these sisters are washing Jesus' feet and anointing in our name his feet with precious perfume. That's the prayers. They're helping to save us and save our parents and our family and our country and all the world which we know. And they're making up for a very sinful world. Do you remember that Bible history story? What how God told Abraham he was going to, or Lot rather, it was Lot, his cousin, that he was going to destroy a particularly wicked city, and the city's name was Sodom, and he had better get out. And they agreed finally, well, that if he could find at least 10 just men in this very sinful place, he would spare it. But he did not. But we're counting them now. Now we have 2 professed and 2 novices. That makes 4 already. Only leave 6, but we hope we don't have to end even there with 10. The work they do is so important for the society from which they flee, and rightly so, today. To be a religious, to be a refugee, to be a repairer, to rebuild from the bottom up. And what does that mean? You start at the feet of Jesus with Mary Magdalene. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.